Welcome to Confessional. I'm Kayla Shelton, along with Mike Moran.
Tell us your deepest, your creepiest, your darkest. Confess to us. We won't tell.
So you can tell us anything. No one's listening.
Today's confessional. What's your favorite horror remake?
All right, everybody, welcome to Confessional. My name is Mike Moran, and I am joined by our guest co-host today, Mr. Mike G. How are you, Mike?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming by, buddy. Have you had a good week?
Yeah.
All right. And what are we discussing today, Mike?
Horror movie remakes.
That is right. And to all our listeners out there, if you'd like to participate in future confessionals, come see us at the Facebook page. You can find us. Just look up Confessional on Facebook. We're there. You'll get to us. Confessional podcast. And our guest today, Mike, is another gentleman named Mike. But thankfully, to avoid confusion with myself and you, Mike G., he goes by Mikey G. So
not confusing.
Right. We
really
decided
clears it up.
No, we're gonna go with Migs today.
All right, Mikey, we can go with Migs.
Mikey G's the Facebook page, but yeah, we'll do Migs. That's the stage name.
How did you get that stage name?
I've had that nickname for a long time. My real government name is Miguel. So Migs is just a shorter version of it. But
well, where does Mike come in then?
It's just English and Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So
isn't the Spanish for Mike Miguelito?
That's what you say when you're small. So you say if your name's Miguel when you're a kid, people will call you Miguelito. Kind of the same way when I was a kid, people called me Mikey. And then when I got older,
right.
I started getting called Mike, but
uh-huh.
my mom calls me Michael, my
right.
grandparents,
yeah, mine
other
too.
People call me Mike.
Yeah.
Miguel, Migs, what asshole, you know, whatever.
I got right, that nickname, so. Right, yeah. All right. Well, Migs, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're working on, what you do.
All right. Well, I am the writer and founder of Movies with Migs. You can see that on Facebook and also Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the Go Defy Life Network. So you can check them out also.
Defy Life Network.
Yeah. It's a group of folks founded by my man J.R. Glimp. He puts some people together. They do different podcasts. They have different segments as far as culture, social issues, comic book stuff. You know, issues for men, issues for women, issues for children.
So essentially everything.
Yeah, just a lot of pop culture, a lot of social things. And like I said, I'm the entertainment guy as far as the movies are concerned. So
cool.
I'm a big movie guy.
Okay.
Long time buff. So I do that part for them. So I appreciate them having me on there.
Yeah.
Y'all having me here.
This is
fun, man. You know, what do I got going on? Next week, I'll be screening a couple movies. I'm screening the new Men in Black and also the new Shaft. So I'll have some reviews on that. And just
both. Okay, so I'm a little confused about both of those.
Okay.
Men in Black International.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a part four or is it like
yes.
a reboot or
no it's supposed to be it's not
spin-off.
A reboot no it's a continuation just with different characters. So, you know, it's a whole big organization. So
right sure.
She's gonna start from what it looks like in the trailer. She's gonna start off in New York where their base is, but they're expanding kind of
uh-huh.
like did you see Kingsman and then Kingsman 2?
No.
So the first Kingsman they had their base in England
right,
and that's
right.
all you see, and then the second one. No, we got counterparts in America too,
yeah,
so it's kind of like
okay.
that. So she's gonna
different
go
chapters,
right? So she's gonna go to the what's her? Tessa Thompson is the lead in this.
I feel like that counts as a spinoff in my book. What do you say?
I could see that. I guess it would be because the characters aren't
right.
the same. It's not gonna be Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, even though they've kind of. In the trailer, they had like a picture of them, so I guess they're giving them homage to that. So
yeah,
it could be a spinoff. You know, it's her and what's his name? Thor. What's his name? The guy who plays Thor. Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah. those are the two agents, and then I think the Liam Neeson is the guy that runs the organization.
I'm ignorant of Thor after Adventures in Babysitting.
So I got a question for you. Are Chris Hemsworth and Liam Hemsworth, are they identical?
No, I think Chris is older.
Damn it.
I always forget.
By like a minute or like.
No, I think he's a few years older. Right. And then I think they have another older brother too.
Okay.
But they favor each other though. So.
Right.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like they kind of look the same even though
they do look similar, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I fall into that too with them as well.
You kind of have a Thor thing going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what people In-game always Thor. Say. And what's the other one that's your screening?
Shaft.
Shaft. Now that we already had a Shaft in like 2000
called
Shaft.
Yeah.
Huh?
We all do.
Yeah. We all do.
Well, we had one
well,
with
this one Sandy. This one has a tagline to it in the title. I just forgot what it was.
It does? It has a subtitle?
Yeah, I think so. I think. Oh, okay. I could be wrong about that, but
Is it a sequel to the 2000 Shaft?
Right.
These movie titles these days are messing me up, man.
Yeah.
How are you going to make a third Halloween 2, but it's the third movie just called Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's your own stuff, I guess you can do whatever you
want. There was a Thing Part 2. I think it was a Thing prequel.
Yeah, but it was just called The Thing.
The Thing.
It'd be great if they have, like, you know, there was The Thing, and now the sequel is A Thing.
One of many things.
Yeah.
Of all the things remembered.
Yeah,
that sounds like a Lifetime.
That was confusing. let me look this up, because I think there's a tagline with this second
I'm pretty sure it's just Shaft.
Yeah, you might be right on that. Let me see.
Everything's becoming as
lazy.
Confusing as the Rambo titles. Rambo, and then First Blood, Rambo 2, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
First Blood,
and then Rambo, First Blood 2. Rambo 3.
Rambo 3.
We just totally skip Rambo 2. Well, Rambo.
Yeah.
And I think the new one's Rambo, Last Blood.
And there's also John Rambo, right?
Well, I think that was the international version of Rambo.
Rambo, yeah.
Yeah.
The National House of Rambo, right. Dude.
International House of Rambo.
It's just called Shaft again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I get maybe like since the video.
Okay, right. So it's a tagline. It's not part of the title.
Right,
More Shaft than you can handle. So I knew they had something with it, but it's not like...
Right.
That's certainly a tagline.
Well, there's no jokes we can make about that, so let's move on to a confession. All right, best horror remake. This is from Badar Tareen, New York City, which I believe is in New York State. Badar,
I don't know.
It shows It. The It remake was better than the original for the following reasons. One, the remake only dealt with the characters when they were younger, which resulted in better character development and a more focused story. Two, the remake was rated R, which is better for adapting the dark source material. Three, the remake had better special effects. Four, the remake had a better cast. Child actors were usually awful in the 80s and 90s, although Tim Curry deserves an honorable mention. Honorable mention? He deserves more than that for that role. Five, the remake had a funnier script that utilized nostalgia in a clever way. And six, the remake had a better score.
I will agree with all that, and then I'll say it with this. When I seen that movie, I almost fell asleep.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
the new one?
Yeah.
Wow. Get a little closer to the mic.
I screened it, and maybe it was because we were sitting in those nice, comfy chairs, but I just... All those reasons I can agree with, but I just wasn't. I was kind of bored by it, not the way the original is.
Right.
But you know, that's just kind of like.
Well, what are your thoughts on the original?
Well, I mean, I think the original is the sign of the times, and then plus Stephen King's stuff in the 80s was just weird anyway.
Right. Right.
Like a lot. What did I watch recently? I watched the original Pet Sematary recently because I kind of forgot about it before I went to see that remake.
Right.
So just to kind of get some ground on it, and that. It's really weird. It just doesn't have a good flow.
Right.
It doesn't
The book Pet Sematary was weird too.
Yeah, see, I never read the book. But most people say that his books translate better than his movies. Now I'll like some of his movies too, but
hard to get a good Stephen King movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some out there, but it's like the minority.
Like, you know, I like Cujo. I thought that was pretty
Cujo's pretty good and pretty straightforward.
I was gonna say Pet Sematary when I was a kid. was the scariest movie I've ever seen.
I saw a portion of that well before I was allowed to watch those movies. I just kind of caught, like, I think my sister or maybe like an older friend had rented it, and I caught the child part at the end where he's stalking.
Yeah, the slice of the god.
That stuck with me.
Yeah.
That messed you up too.
Oh, big time. And like, just he's such a scary. He was a really good scary kid.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I saw it again, maybe like 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe how bad I thought it was.
Really?
Right.
Like, it just it didn't hold up in the slightest, which was surprising to me.
Yeah.
And I wondered if when it came out, if I had been my age, I would have been like, this is stupid. But I saw it as a kid, so I'll never know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell those things, like if it's your age or just the time.
Yeah, I mean, because it could be a little bit of both. I mean, we're older now. Like, things are not going to hit us the way, like,
I'm
like you said, I wasn't allowed to watch some scary movies, but I'd always sneak to do it, and I'd scare myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, now you watch stuff and it's like, okay, this isn't really scary, but I think there's some things that are still kind of creepy-ish and it kind of sit with you. There's there's a scene in Night of the Living Dead, and I don't know why, even to this day, it always gives me the damn shivers. And it's in the remake when the little girl first pops up.
Right.
She's all creeped. I don't know why that shit gives me. I'm like, just thinking about that sometimes, like, ugh. It's
scary
weird. It's weird.
Yeah, kids.
Scary kids is.
Absolutely.
It's really messed you up.
That scene, just that one part where she's like kind of gets up and is like going for the mom.
Uh-huh.
That shit gives me the shivers.
Did you guys see The Good Son when you were little?
Oh, yeah. Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Was there anything scarier in like 1993 than Macaulay Culkin being a sociopath and killing people?
Such a great.
I was like shocked that that movie. Yeah, I was like, I remember seeing the poster and had an R rating at the bottom. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like Macaulay Culkin?
I think it was more shocking than anything, but I don't know. That movie.
That was a
I used to watch it all the time on HBO. I wasn't going to see that in a theater. But like I said,
I did when I was like, I think my mom took me in like seventh grade or so, sixth grade, something like that.
Nah, see, I wasn't. My first rated R movie that I was allowed to watch, well, Terminator 2 was, but that was on some. Yeah, me and my dad went and seen that. But like a whole like kind of family thing I was watching like with both my parents was Broken Arrow. So
with John Travolta, and I think I saw that in the theater.
I saw that with them, like the whole thing. Because like,
that was R.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I, like scary stuff like that. No, I didn't.
Right. Right.
Like, I didn't see scary movies in the theater till I was older. So I wouldn't have seen something like that. But I, you know, like I said, I watched it on HBO. But I didn't. It was bugged out just because it was Macaulay Culkin. But at the same time, it wasn't any. It was like, okay, look, just a little crazy ass little kid. I mean, I liked the movie though.
Yeah.
I thought the ending was kind of. The way she, she let him
so
go,
it was a great choice,
and kept Elijah Wood.
I haven't really
Wood.
Revisited that lately. I should.
Before we move on, I wanted to say something about It. Do you guys think of It as like there's a certain type of horror movie that's really really scary, and then there's a certain type of horror movie that's not like scary. It's like something else. Like I didn't think It
disturbing.
Yeah, maybe disturbing because like you know that scene when he bites the arm, like that's. I don't know. I thought it would have been scary if he just sort of pulled him in. It, like sometimes when you see the thing, it's not as scary as when they leave it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's like the H.P. Lovecraft kind of rule, you know. It's like
don't ever show the monster.
Yeah, the it's scarier in your imagination type thing, you know. But that's that, you know, there's room for everything. Like sometimes it works that way, sometimes it doesn't, you know. And like Jaws, apparently like they wanted to show the shark a whole lot more, but they couldn't afford to, or it kept breaking or something, so they couldn't show it until the end. And so, like a lot of those like POVs and everything were like last minute additions. But everybody is like, "Wow, that's
pretty
so scary."
Wow.
Yeah, see, I like those though, where you're seeing the person floating and it's just
moving
around. It's oh crap.
Yeah, and like the earlier slasher movies, like when the monster wasn't there the whole time, you know, they're like in the shadows and stuff. Like those are usually better, you know.
The only one where you like see it that freaked me out is definitely Freddy Krueger movies. Like he was scary, I thought.
Yeah, he was.
Up until a certain point.
Yeah, he got a little too wacky after a while, I think.
After 3.
Yeah.
He stopped being.
Although I do like Freddy's Dead. I don't know why everybody hates that movie.
I love it. But it's a parody of itself.
Right.
It's
they just went full on just like.
I mean, this guy had a freaking Nintendo controller. Right.
You know what? I don't know which Freddy Krueger movie this was, but I remember it being at, like, I wasn't allowed to watch. I heard my mom didn't even have a TV growing up, but I remember going to a friend's house and his older sister was watching one of the Freddy movies, and it's that scene where the girl like turns into a bug.
Oh yeah,
that fucked me up.
Was that was four? That was either four or five.
I think that was four.
And then when all the souls are like the claymation souls like within
that really
messed me up.
Yeah, that was a decent series for that era, you know?
There aren't
too many terrible Freddy movies.
I think just as far, like, I don't know why they placed two the way it did, because that was just kind of weird.
Two was a weird anomaly.
Yeah, that was weird.
They take, like, a brilliant premise that I'm surprised no one did before of a stalker in your dreams who can manipulate your dreams, and they decide, like, well, let's just make him, like, a guy who possesses people instead.
Yeah, it was weird.
You know, like, what?
Because then
why
they
would
did,
you throw
did,
away that idea?
Yeah, they did three, and that was, people were like, okay, three was kind of more of the direct sequel to one.
Right.
Two,
yeah, they kind of disregarded
so
two.
So it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think those two are my favorite ones. I like three the most. My my cousin had three on VHS.
Uh-huh.
We watched it all the time.
Yeah, three was pretty great.
Yeah. So that was the, I mean,
they had the right
because,
balance of like the. Like the theatrical and the spooky.
Yeah, yeah. And I love like, okay, we got powers too. We're
right,
going to try
right.
to fight this guy.
That could almost be like a PG-13 kind of fantasy movie, you know? Like, it was almost not even a horror.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was, but it was like. I think it still had that scary element to it.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Like I said, you had Freddy in there, and he was still pretty scary in that one. He didn't start like doing a lot of like the jokes and more slapstick stuff until four and afterwards. Mm-hmm. But you know, I like that character just because the way they wrote it, and it's just like you watch that movie and it's about a guy invading your dreams.
Right.
And you actually dream about that shit.
You wanna know what's even creepier? Kind of based on a true story, believe it or not. There's a phenomenon I think in East Asia called nightmare death, and there's like a lot of folklore around it. It only happens I think with young East Asian men, surprise, and it's like a total mystery. I think they're starting to figure out, like, it might have something to do with your heart, but there's all this folklore around it. So people, like, you know, would think it was like a dream demon or something like that, and that's where the idea came from.
You guys ever had lucid dreams?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird sometimes. Like, I can remember, like, you ever have a dream and it's like you're watching it happen? Like, you're watching your own dream?
Yeah.
Like, that's some weird shit right there. Like, I think so. It's like, and you wake up and you remember, like, all these details
right.
and stuff.
You can't,
like,
remember what, if it, like, was real.
Yeah,
or,
like, what the hell? Like, was I watching something or was I asleep?
Let's
like,
get to another confession here, though. This is from Dan. Oh, this is our first confession from Mexico. Daniel
Viva
Palomino Ruiz, Mexico City, Mexico. The Thing. The Thing remake is directed by one of my favorite directors, John Carpenter. It has a soundtrack by Ennio Morricone, top-notch effects, and a very suspenseful plot. I just love it. What do you guys
think? I didn't know that
was
a remake.
Agreed.
Yes, it's the Thing from Another World, yeah. I believe, was the original.
Was that in the 50s, I think?
Yeah, something like that. It's a black and white. In Halloween, she's watching it. And then John Carpenter, who made Halloween, ended up doing The Thing remake.
Yeah. The Thing from the 80s is still one of the best horror thrillers.
Hell yeah.
It holds up. Those practical effects are just ridiculous.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, I mean, just good Lord. That I really
The whole thing's a metaphor for diabetes, if you ask me.
I really love that part where the guys, they're trying to resuscitate the dude, and it just opens up
a
mouth and just bites that guy's hands off. Yeah. And then the part where the head comes off and it turns into like a little spider.
Yeah, man.
That is so creepy. And that noise it was making, like, jeez.
I gotta be honest with you guys though. Like, I don't know if I quite like The Thing as much as everybody else seems to.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I like it, but it never struck me as like a classic, like, you know, one of the best horror movies ever made type of thing.
Do you know what? So, I didn't realize this whenever I watched it, but somebody told me, you know, at the end when he's sitting out there and the place is burning and he's with the other guy, I didn't realize that he isn't sure if the other guy is an alien or if he's. I thought they were both real people, but apparently it's like that's what you're supposed to wonder. Ambiguous. Is he?
Right, right.
Well, yeah. That went right over my head.
They're supposed to both not know because they weren't. They got separated, and that's where the whole. Okay, is this? Are you good or not? And that's why because they both were like, okay, we're not gonna. We're probably gonna die. We don't have a facility. We're freezing out here, and that's why he's like, well, I don't have any strength to fight. You don't have any strength to fight. What's gonna happen? It's like, oh, I guess we'll just see.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, like, oh shit. Like,
well, does Jason Goes to Hell count as a remake of The Thing? Because that's my choice. No, not really.
Jason Goes to Hell.
Never saw
the weirdest sequel ever made. Never seen Jason Goes to Hell.
That's where Freddy versus Jason came from.
Yeah, yeah. The ending had Freddy's gloves.
Yeah.
All right. Migs.
Yeah.
What is your number one favorite horror remake?
Like I say, it would have to be The Night of the Living Dead from the 90s.
Okay. Man, starring Tony Todd, I believe.
Yeah, Tony Todd.
Came out like 1990.
Yeah.
Tom Savini, that was like his directorial debut, wasn't it?
Right. Which is, you know, if you know anything about the zombie genre, then you got to know Tom Savini.
Absolutely.
Because those practical effects that he did and just the zombie effects and the gore.
Right, right. Well, he did Dawn of the Dead, right?
Yeah, he was one of the, he started doing stuff in that movie, and he also was
And I
one
think
of
he
the,
was a Vietnam photographer before that, so he was like really familiar with gore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, now that part I didn't know about.
Yeah, I think during the war he was a photographer.
That's pretty cool. But he was also in Dawn of the Dead. He's one of the bikers. He gets killed.
Yeah.
He gets shot, and then like I think the zombies get him too.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So he directed that one, and I used to. There's an old show that came on. I'm gonna date myself here on TNT. It was called Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I used to watch that all the time. But they showed Night of the Living Dead all the time.
I think I remember seeing it on that. Yeah.
And I used to watch that. Because
it wasn't that wasn't a theatrical release, was it?
I
don't remember
it was
coming to the theaters. Okay, it was like a limited type of thing.
It might have been short-lived.
I feel like I would have remembered that in like 1990.
But it, you know, it became a cult classic just
because
the original was black and white. They didn't have a lot of the gore wasn't really like gore. You know, like they were like the people were eating on like pieces of meat and stuff that, and you could tell.
Right.
I mean, it's still a good movie. It's still it's suspenseful for the time that they did it. It was like holy shit, the small setting, and the only thing I like about the original over the remake was in the original everybody died. In the remake, the one she lived, but in the original they got everybody.
So Barbara lives in the remake?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
remember seeing it.
She was smart though. She tried to tell them, they didn't want to listen to her. She said, "Look, we can walk past them. We're faster."
Right. She was tougher and smarter in this one.
Yeah, because in the original, she was...
Right.
That's why they got her.
And I know there was a different ending in the remake, wasn't it?
Yeah. So
did Ben get shot?
Yeah, in the original, he lived, but he's walking in the house.
Right.
And they say, oh, there goes one, get him. I was like,
So he survived the zombies and got killed by the white people.
Yeah, but now in the remake, Tony Todd turned into one because he got shot twice, so he died from his wounds down in the basement. But that was just a great scene because as he's dying, he sees the freaking keys right there that they were looking for.
I do remember that. Yeah.
They were looking for the...
He kind of like laughs, doesn't he?
Yeah, that laugh, and then it faded to black, and it was like, damn. Because they were all down in that basement talking about the keys to the gas pump.
Right, right.
And that's how the dude tries to shoot the lock off.
Yeah,
and it sprays
great idea.
Gasoline everywhere. And then they had a torch in the back, so that just... So that was pretty crazy.
Right.
But I don't think they... I don't remember in the original, what did they... I don't think there was ever a scene with the keys where they found.
No, I don't think there was.
Because they did that in the original too with the gas thing blowing up and all that. But I don't think there was a scene with the keys. I'd have to go back and look.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a yeah. I just like I said, the gore in that was good.
Right.
Effects. It was just man. That was some good stuff.
So you're okay with like the plot changes they made?
Yeah. I mean, it was you know, they normally when they do stuff like that, even today, they're going to do those little subtle changes.
Not making
the exact same movie, a little twist up here and there.
Now,
but essentially, it's still the same.
A lot of people see those films as like social commentaries or like, you know, like they have like metaphors or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think this remake had that?
I'd say so.
But that's not like what you like about it, per se.
No, I mean, I just like it for the fact that it was a zombie movie. It was low key. It was kind of scary. I think as far as social commentary, I think the original had that more when they because that's why they did what they did with the black guy.
Right, right.
That was more of that, and then I think when Dawn of the Dead came around, that was more social commentary with the zombies and what they were doing and not doing and going back to the mall and just
I think that was the most brilliant. That was a good like balance of like social commentary and horror and just kind of survival, you know, just kind of a Lord of the Flies type thing.
I never pick up on that stuff, on like social commentary.
I often don't. Like people say like Halloween or Texas. I get Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I can kind of see. Like it seems like a vegetarian kind of message. But no, totally. Am I wrong about that?
Is that
I feel like that's one of the most blatant ones.
That movie messed me
vegan?
Up.
Well, it's like, all right, what if humans were the ones being eaten? You know, like, what would that look like?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's been movies about cannibalism, and especially, like, if you're in dire straits, do you still do that? There's a thing about that. Like,
and
you
I used to play bass for Dire Straits, so I can understand. Sorry, that's terrible.
You know, you're not supposed to eat your own, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, I will say this. In the remake, there is a part where she's watching all the hillbillies and stuff like beat up the zombies, and they got him like a wrestling
that's what
thing.
I remember.
And
about
she's
that.
Like, she's like, they're us, and then they're like, what? And she's like, we're them, and they're us. So I guess that was the little social part with that too.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, yeah, when you look at something like that, is that weird? Is it enough to just kill the zombies and get rid of them, or do you have to put them in a freaking ring and fight them, and do you have to do you have to hang them and shoot them, or you know, do you have to do more than just shoot him in the head? Let's rip him apart.
I'll tell you what I would do.
His head around.
Catapult. I would lots of catapulting.
See that something
probably
like that,
wouldn't do anything.
You'd see something like that in like Zombieland or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the cool stuff.
You'd have to keep doing it because they keep coming back.
Well, you just
unless
throw
they splatter
them in
their head.
Well, you get a fenced off area with a catapult. That way, you're not really like you feel better because you're not killing them, and you just.
Look, as far as zombies, I don't want them around. Look,
man.
Look, a lot of my good friends are zombies. All right, I have no problem with those people. I just don't want them. Just don't want the living dead in my family. All right, so Martin McCollum from Fullerton, California, Black Christmas. The cast of the girls in the movie were all at the time Scream Queens. Michelle Trachtenberg from Buffy. Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Final Destination 3, Katie Cassidy from When a Stranger Calls, and Lacey Chabert from Mean Girls. We're not done yet. Kristen Cloak from Final Destination and Andrea Martin from the original Black Christmas. That cast was amazing, at least to me, and the nonlinear storytelling was badass. Did you guys see the Black Christmas remake?
No.
I don't even think I've ever heard of that.
Really?
First or second?
The original was what, 80s, right? Was that an 80s?
No,
70s. Was that 70s
slasher? It was pre-Halloween. I'm surprised people don't see that more as the proto-slasher movie.
Okay.
What's the plot?
It's a sorority house full of women over Christmas.
Get a slasher coming.
I think maybe it's like all the ones that didn't go home for Christmas from college, and they're getting weird phone calls. It's cool because it's like the killer is so weird and mysterious that he makes no sense, you know? Like, I like it when like the killer is like so nuts that there's like no rhyme or reason to him. And like he just says all these bizarre things on the phone and like it talks in all these different voices and stuff. And they leave that ambiguous. They don't ever explain it, which is great. And then from there, it's just like a slasher mystery type of thing.
I mean, that sounds like it was before the Ted Bundy thing, but like Ted Bundy, like basically went nuts in a sorority house.
Yeah. Maybe it was a life imitating art type of thing.
See, I don't remember too much of that movie, and I probably haven't even seen the whole thing.
From what I remember, I remember I was thinking like, why is this not more of a slasher classic? You know, it's like really.
Is it pretty good gore and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. Dude, look up the trailer. The trailer is really creepy.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
A lot of those 70s movies, the trailers are just so spot on.
70s was great.
Yeah.
They need to bring back decent trailers, because these trailers today are just terrible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right.
They show you everything.
Right, right.
Somebody like me, when I see certain stuff over and over again, I know it's coming when I watch the movie.
Exactly.
It's freaking horrible. Yeah. I really hate
it. Right. I try to, if it's a movie I really want to, like, I didn't watch any of the Halloween trailers before it came out. I managed to avoid, like, everything for that one.
For the new one?
The new one, yeah.
I saw the teaser, but then that was just, you know, I knew enough about it just from, I was keeping an eye on it. And when they said John Carpenter was back on it, I was really interested. But you know what was an interesting trailer that I just watched? Alien. Their teaser trailer, holy shit.
Alien?
Yeah. The first, that is a freaking trailer. Yeah, I mean, because there's no footage from the movie.
Uh-huh.
It's just it's a regular egg.
Right, right.
And it's got that crack through it, and then that blue light comes out.
Yeah,
and you got that,
I do remember that. Yeah.
In the background. It's like, oh, no one can hear you scream. Bam, that's it.
Oh, man. I'll tell
freaking
you, the
brilliant.
Spookiest 70s trailer, Let's Scare Jessica to Death. Look that one up. It's so creepy.
That's like the whole movie title?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
That's another kind of classic. That one is really bizarre. Like it's almost like surreal. Like it almost doesn't make any linear sense at all. But it's freaking awesome.
Have to check that out.
Yeah, man. They need to, like, somebody needs to, you know how there's always like nostalgia movies and stuff these days. Like somebody needs to capitalize on that gritty 70s cheap, you know, kind of grindhouse horror thing. Yeah. But in a serious way, not like in the Planet Terror kind of way. Like somebody needs to make like a movie like that.
I think they were trying to go for that in like Halloween to bring it back to that kind of style. But what you're talking about, we haven't really seen anything.
Like the creepy voiceovers and quick cuts and stuff.
Like hardcore like
that. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I was thinking about what my I've been thinking about it since we started, like what's my favorite remake.
Okay.
I've never seen my favorite remake. Wicker Man. But here's why I think I've seen like, have you guys seen like the like YouTube videos making fun of Wicker Man Part 2?
Yeah.
So I think that movie is like a joke, right? Like people think of it as a joke. But my theory is that Nicolas Cage made that as a joke so people would be like, oh my God, I got to see the original is probably such a joke, and then get the shit scared out of them. Because that movie, the original Wicker Man.
Original one's great.
I mean, for years, that movie fucked with me.
Well, how old were you when you saw it?
Old. I was like in my early 20s.
Wow, me too.
And it disturbed me beyond any movie that's
What's
ever disturbed
me. What's so disturbing
me.
About it to you?
Just like, the idea of like everyone turning against you.
Right,
when you and you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, and just, and I, to this day, like I'll be driving with people and I'll be like, what if they're about to Wicker Man me? And it's like always in the back of my mind. And then Game
you're
of Thrones.
Out for Wicker Man.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones had the all like the burning people alive. So that's like a thing that's like in the consciousness, I think,
burning
right now.
Burning people is pretty horrifying.
Yeah.
I've never seen The Wicker Man.
Dude.
Oh, dude, you gotta see it.
You
it's
gotta
pretty amazing.
See it.
But, speaking of Nick Cage, have y'all seen Mandy?
Hell yeah.
Dude. Wow.
I will tell you this, though. I give it an A minus. Almost perfect. The third act, it's just kind of like,
I didn't like the last killing. That was a little bit of a letdown.
Once it became a revenge murder thing, it's just kind of like, that's
I love revenge.
I like when he crafted it, that freaking axe, and then
the movie was too good to just turn into.
I really liked all that. You know, I seen that movie last year, and then the senator. In Baltimore, had it in the theater, so I went and watched it.
Oh, man, they did have it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great, man.
Yeah, I will put The Witch above Mandy, though, of my favorite movie of the last few years.
I like The Witch, but I wouldn't put that above Mandy.
I think The Witch might be in my top five.
The Witch is freaking nuts, though. That's a hell of a slow burn.
Hell yeah, I love
that. That is a hell of a slow burn.
So good.
But that was that freaking
so well.
When you see the hot witch, and then their hand comes up, and it's this freaky old lady hand.
Yeah.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, old
she's
ladies
like
and children are just the scariest. Yeah. All right, let's read another one here. This is from Samantha King, Bellevue, Ohio. Suspiria. I remember seeing the Dario Argento version of Suspiria when I was 14. It was visually stunning, weird, and had kitschy, moogie soundtrack by Goblin. I didn't get the movie, but I liked it. I watched the 2018 remake a few weeks ago. Like the original, I was won over by the aesthetics, the music by Tom York, in the overall grittiness of the movie. One scene features a picture frame made of human hair for that Ed Gein realness. I get Suspiria at 38 more than I did at 14. I mean, it's still kind of pretentious, but I dig it nonetheless. Did you guys see the Suspiria remake?
I've never seen either one of them.
What? But I heard somebody was telling me about that one, that it, like, you just go in there and you're going to watch a trippy ass movie.
Right. So. Yeah. It's kind of like Mandy in that sense, where it's very, very cinematic, very atmospheric, very colorful.
See, I enjoy things like that, though. So I can, I mean, even if it doesn't really make sense,
it's a work of art type of thing.
Yeah, see, I like art house movies.
Right, what are the other big Dario Argento? I know I've seen at least one. I just can't think of what he did.
I think he did, like, Twitch of the Death Nerve or something, and some other ones that I always hear about, but I don't know that I've ever seen. Jimmy, will you look that up for us?
Yes.
Our producer, Jimmy's going to take care of the Dario Argento.
Sorry, guys. I forgot I had a job here. What were we talking about?
Will Wikipedia Dario Argento's filmography?
Yeah, first I'm going to Wikipedia how to spell Dario Argento, and then I'll Wikipedia his filmography.
They're pretty awesome Italian movies with awesome soundtracks. Like, the soundtracks alone are awesome.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Like, well, what are some that you're aware of, like Italian
directors or Argento movies?
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of any Italian horror movies. I'm just thinking about Fellini.
Just explaining to us that
I know I've seen one of his movies and can't think of what it was, but it was really cool. Okay. What was that movie with Donald Sutherland? It was like a horror, like he keeps seeing like this like
wasn't that
vision.
Didn't he do the first with the little dolls?
This guy has a ton of movies, guys. This guy has a ton of movies.
Was Donald Sutherland in that first one?
I'm gonna look at Jimmy's phone here.
The main titles are in Italian. Fucking nerd.
We got Four Flies on Grey Velvet.
Never
that classic.
Seen it.
Deep Red.
Nope.
Martin. Didn't realize he was in
Martin. What's up?
Right. I'm shocked. This whole time, I thought it was...
he did Zombie. I've heard of that one. Sometimes it's called Zombie 2, confusingly.
Zombie?
Yeah, it's like, I think it was marketed as a remake or a sequel to Dawn of the Dead overseas, which was called Zombie. Mm. So I know it has a zombie fighting a shark in the first scene.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dude. That's one I've seen.
Yeah? You've seen that?
It's underwater. Yeah, it's a zombie killing a shark.
Right.
That's a great way.
We watched earlier.
Great way to start a movie. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Does the shark become a zombie once killed by a
I think he just kills it. I don't think it turns into a zombie.
Oh, and he made the remake of Suspiria as well. He did a version of Phantom of the Opera, Cat of Nine Tails.
This is going to bother me that I can't think of a single
movie. What kind of horror nerd am I? Like, I hear this name all the time, and I don't know any of his movies.
Well, he's Italian.
That's true.
Wow. Fuck non-American.
There's a zombie movie I have at home. It's like Murder of Manchester or something like that. That might be. Let me. I have to look it up.
And then you just know about his daughter. She's famous.
Who?
Dario Argento's daughter is that she directed that movie, not Triple X, but it was basically like.
Starring Vin Diesel?
They when that came out, they're like. Because she was in Triple X, and whatever movie she was in, they were like, this is one that should have been called Triple X. Because like, there's a scene of like her going to her friend's house, and she's like tied up on a bed. She's been there tied up for 3 days, and she tries to get her out of there, and the boyfriend comes home, and she's like, nah, I'm going to hang out with him after he tied her up for 3 days.
Huh. I don't know.
Not a horror movie.
And she's related to Dario Argento?
What is her name?
Dawson?
No, it's Dario Argento's daughter. I feel like Rosa Argento or something like that.
You have like the weirdest knowledge
Sargento.
Of
I have
this
no
guy,
knowledge, but I'm like
barely you do.
I know.
You know all these facts.
The Living Dead at Manchester Morgue. I think that might be Italian. Let me look.
What is her name? This is gonna bother me.
I'll look it up. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Dario Argento's porn star daughter.
Yeah. And she did that movie. She's the one who did that. Did you ever hear about that conspiracy? There's this book called...
it is.
There's this book called The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know how that was like... It turned out to be a hoax? Like it was all bullshit?
What do you mean?
So Asia Argento and
Asia
Fiore.
Argento.
Oh, wow.
Asia Argento. That's Asia what Argento. It is. So Heart is Deceitful Above All Things was this book that came out supposedly by this kid who like was molested like all this stuff. Hopes. And then it turns out it was this English major who was like in her 30s wasn't famous. And so she wrote this book pretending then got really famous and then had her sister or her sister-in-law pretend to be this kid and like go on tour and like everyone was all about it. Like Courtney Love was all about it. The guy from Third Eye Blind was all about it. And then like Asia Argento made a movie about it.
Oh, I think maybe I did see it. Was it like Marilyn Manson in it or something?
I think he was.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to horror movie remakes, though. Mike G. You said The Wicker Man, but that was a joke one.
No, but that's definitely, I think, the number one.
All right, well, do you have another horror movie remake that you like a lot?
We already talked about it. The Thing.
You're going to say The Wicker Man.
The Thing.
All right, so you're a big fan of The Thing as well.
I thought The Thing is like the great one of the best. It just does it for me. Like, and I don't even know if it scares me that much.
Right, right.
It was just really cool.
Uh-huh. It's more suspenseful than.
Way more
suspense. Maybe more than horror, I guess, especially now.
Right.
Because, you know, that movie came out, I was a kid. And that was. I wouldn't call it scary, I would call it more creepy. And
like
I,
more horrifying than.
Yeah, it's just like. I don't know. I guess just the thought of it is scary, but at the same time, the movie wasn't scary in itself.
No, it's cool.
Like I said, it's a thriller. It's a really good thriller. But that's that's John Carpenter's thing. Because I don't even think Halloween is scary.
Does really? I do. I think that's one of the few. As
I don't
far
think
as
it's
like,
scary. I think it's more of a. I think, like I said, I put that in a thriller.
Yeah, but the suspense is what's scary. I mean, it's like I think it's one of the few movies where like it had for like 15 minutes or so, it has me on the edge of my seat, like.
Yeah. I mean,
the last act of that is just like perfectly crafted.
I'll give it that, but like I said, with that, with Michael Myers, the thought of a Michael Myers is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But like Halloween didn't scare me like how the Freddy Kruegers did when I seen those, or how Chucky scared the shit out of me when I first seen that.
Well, what still scares you guys? I mean, we're talking about all this stuff from when we're kids. What still like freaks you out?
Creepy stuff with kids. That's still
kid
pretty,
stuff still scary.
Yeah, it's still pretty. I mean, just depending on how they do it.
I always think about like if I'm in. I don't get scared like I did when I was a kid, but I still do sometimes. Like if I'm in a real isolated, kind of dark, old place or something by myself, I always think about like what are the thoughts I don't want to think right now.
Right.
And like for me, like still just like ghosts like watching me, people like look at faces appearing in the night, like that stuff freaks me out.
Definitely the two things, they're not remakes, but the two things that have like, I wouldn't even say in the theater freaked me out, but like afterwards, like the Blair Witch Project, I was an adult when I saw that.
Right.
And then I went to Maine that weekend and it was horrifying.
Really?
And then...
Well, it was Maine. It would have been horrifying
no
matter
what.
That's
true. Yeah, but then Paranormal Activity... Same thing.
Uh-huh.
Like it's like watching it. I was like on the edge of my seat, and I liked it and everything. But then, like, you go home and you're like freaking
out. Yeah, noises like that and stuff, or let's say you're at home and you're by yourself, and it might not even be dark or anything like that. But you see something, or you think you see something. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, what the hell? What was that?
Right.
Like, y'all ever had those moments?
Yeah, well, see, like reflections kinda... in the dark are the creepiest thing. Like, in a window or like...
So, speaking of that, what is that movie? It was some... what do you call that? Possession movie where, like, they talk about 3 o'clock in the morning being the witch's hour or the devil's hour or something like that.
I don't know.
I think it's maybe the Emily Rose, the something of Emily
Exorcism
Rose.
Emily Rose.
Yeah. They talk about 3 a.m. being like the witching hour.
Okay.
And ever since I heard that, like anytime I'm asleep and I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't function until 4 a.m. hits. And I'm just
really
in like
still?
A panic. Yeah.
Wow.
Like in a huge panic.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
it was definitely that movie, wasn't The Craft? Remember The Craft from the 90s?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it was the
Conflicted.
I think it was.
I've been watching it since VHS in 96 or something.
I'm going to look it up. I think it was.
I think they're remaking that.
The Craft.
Yeah. I feel like that they could do well with that.
Just
a modern.
The basic premise.
Yeah.
We'll
like
see.
Cool.
Some teenage witches, bro.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that.
Come on.
That was like right when the goth era, like The Crow and The Craft kind of like ushered in the mid-90s goth era, I think.
The all black, the leather.
So guys, I cannot really, for the life of me, think of what my favorite horror remake would be. I don't know if I even have one. I guess, all right, the original Frankenstein, would that be, that wouldn't be considered a remake. I mean, they had an earlier Frankenstein.
Oh, I love how you go, the original Frankenstein. What, from the 30s? Is that a remake? It's the original.
Well, the one that we think of as the original. There was a Thomas Edison movie before that that was really big called Frankenstein. Like
Thomas Edison made it?
Well, like his production company. Oh, yeah, damn. He had like a lot of the early movies were like Thomas Edison Productions.
That guy hustled.
He did everything.
I mean, yes, that was right.
I mean, I think the as far as those old school black and white, the Universal Monster films, those are top notch, man. Even though, like I said, they're a sign of the times too, but just looking at the stuff that they did and what they actually ushered in, that's some amazing stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what I love about those is I have something with movies, and I've only really noticed this recently. I like set pieces. I don't like using a stat, especially for something that's supposed to be really atmospheric, you know? Like, if it's like a realism movie, then sure, but like something like a gothy monster horror thing, I like it when they create the world, you know what I mean? I don't like it when they use actual old castles or whatever, or like forests. I don't know. There's something about, like, I like the production of it.
Yeah. I can agree with that. I like set pieces and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Took me the
longest time to know what that meant.
A set piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't figure it out until you finished your sentence.
Yeah. when they build stuff. I mean, like the original Star Wars, where there's a lot of set pieces. They built the stuff. Yeah. You know, models.
Oh, so does it actually mean a piece on the set?
Like peace on earth?
No. Like
PEACE.
No. I know that. I mean, what I mean is like it's something. It's actual. It's something on set that they built.
Yeah,
that
like
is,
when they build stuff. I thought pre-existed.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So okay. Like
learn something new.
I mean, I think that's the correct terminology. I don't even know.
Okay, like I'll just give you an easy example. Let's look at sitcoms. So. They show like Fresh Prince, right? So they show you this big old house. They just using that part. But they actually build they build the couple rooms that they're usually in. Those are just kind of like side.
Those are set pieces?
Set pieces, right. Yeah. So they'll show you a big house, like, oh yeah, we live here.
Right.
But the actual scenes where they take place in that part is built sets.
But lots of
I'm
going to
look it up.
Stuff.
I want to make sure, because I thought it was something else.
Mm-mm. Huh.
Like lots of movies and stuff, they'll use actual locations, which can work.
Right.
But for some reason, for me, I like the idea of them crafting it all themselves.
Right.
You know.
You know what I love? I love when they use, like you said, they go to an actual location and try to tell you it's something else, but you already know that. It's like, oh yeah, we're Vancouver. In Boston. It's like, dude, no, that's
okay. Yeah. You know how many movies that are supposed to be New York or Vancouver?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Or we're it's in like some so island somewhere, but they're Hawaii, and it's like I lived in Hawaii. I know every time you guys are there because they always show that same mountain range, and they try to say, oh, we're in the Philippines. Nah, that's Hawaii.
So guys. I think your definition of set piece isn't exactly accurate.
Oh, okay, what do you guess?
In film production, a set piece is a scene or sequence of scenes whose execution requires serious logistical planning and considerable expenditure of money.
Isn't that every movie?
But it's like
other than the Blair Witch.
I think it means like it's like this. Like a set piece would be like if you were gonna run through this house. Being chased by a slasher and like 20 people die on the way down, like that is a set piece. It's like
a sequence
in the movie where something big. So like that scene in, it's not a horror movie, but that scene in There Will Be Blood with the oil tank exploding.
Right.
That's a set piece.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily have to be something you built. It just has to be something that required a shitload of planning and time.
So their definition of set piece falls into the broader definition of set piece.
You could use a set piece set piece.
We'll just say the production.
We'll have an entire
upcoming
episode
ridiculous definition
just on set
pieces. That's a dumb definition.
Where did you read that from? Because I don't really...
Dumbdefinitions.net.
I'm telling you, that's what I always thought a set piece was.
That doesn't even sound right.
Yeah, it's pretty much anything that's like hard. Anything that's hard, that's set piece.
Snobbery. You guys know Mike G. He's a total set piece Nazi.
We'll say the production.
How difficult was it? Because that's the barometer, apparently.
Yeah, that's a weird
set the record straight.
That was only
Mike
G. of a set piece.
Just a piece of it.
Oh, man. All right, guys. This was a lot of fun. Miggs, thank you so much for coming by, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
We'd love to have you back. It sounds like we could have 100,000 conversations with you about this stuff.
We all want to talk movies. We could do it all day.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely have you back sometime.
Appreciate it.
Mike G. thank you so much for stopping by and doing your set piece research beforehand. We appreciate
Anytime.
That. No, seriously, it's always great having you. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you for having
man.
Me. It's real
Jimmy,
fun.
Jimmy, thank you so much, buddy.
Anytime. All the time, actually.
And we will see everybody next week on The Confessional.